Jos is anaismi, ahlan anaismi, Josaiska. Is that right? Now, if you give me to the end of the service, I might remember the word for thank you. So.
Shaka.
Okay, I'm so excited to be here. I came all the way from Gainesville, Florida, where it's hot and warm. And if God would do me a favor, here, I'm just going to ask him if he'd be willing to make it snow before I leave. Y'all pray for me. Pray for me that snows. I've never made a snowman. I've never got a snowman. Y'all pray for me. I'd like to be a country. I'm so excited to be here. I haven't met too many of you, but I've been praying for y'all for many hours, and I've been so excited to come up here. Because I'm convinced that God wants to do something in us. He wants to change us. He wants us to hear his call. He wants something way, way more different than what the average churchgoer has got going for him. And he wants us to hear his call because he doesn't want us to live this humdrum, boring life, anything like that. There's something exciting that happens when we start hearing what he's got going. Like Adina said, I've got a whole lot of Bible verses to show you, so it's going to probably be overwhelming. Please come and ask me. I'm sure you're going to have questions about the end of the day. I'm sure there's going to be questions going through your brain. That's my goal here tonight is not to answer every question right now, but my goal, there's only one rule tonight. Can you just hold up one finger? I just want to see one finger. There's only one rule tonight. And I'm asking that you would believe the Bible. I'm pleading with y'all. We're going to read some pretty hard verses. But I'm pleading with you. Believe the Bible. One rule. And that you believe the Bible and that you would honor God by not hardening your heart with these verses. Because there's a lot of verses. If you can take notes, take notes. I'm sure you're going to have questions. Ask after I'm here. So that being said, let me go ahead and pray for y'all and for us together so that we would see what God has to offer about embracing the revelation. But I'd like to bring us here that you would change us, that you would make us different, that you would answer maybe not every one of the technical questions in our head, but these questions and longings in our heart for something more than what we've tasted. And that you would let all these feelings for something great, something powerful, something amazing, a life that's different, a life that's full of hope and full of reality of the living God, the life that's sold out to one being, and that's you. I pray that you'd open up our eyes and you'd revolutionize our lives tonight, wherever we are, in Jesus' name. Amen. When we're talking about embracing the revolution, this guy, I like this passage in Matthew 8. If you have your Bible, you can turn to there. In Matthew 8, we got what some people have called Mr. Too Quick. And basically, can I get someone to read this out loud for us? Can I get like a
front row volunteer? Go for it. Read to us, Mr. Too Quick.
A scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you, and wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head."
Y'all catch that? God comes up to Jesus, "You're so cool, I want to follow you." And Jesus comes right at him, "Foxes have holes." So I want to follow you. But what are you saying? You get Jesus, what's going on? Foxes have holes and birds of the sky have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.
And continue reading the next one.
Another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, allow me first to go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." When he got into a boat, his disciples followed him.
Did y'all catch that? You see what's underlined there? Can we put those handouts? Can we distribute those there? What's that distributing those? You see what happened? That there's two people. One's called Mr. Too Quick, and the other is called Mr. Too Slow. And they're both coming to him, and one's like, I'm ready to follow you. He's like, well, not really. Let me tell you what the cost is going to be to follow me. Another's like, he's like, I don't know if I'm ready to follow you. He's like, that's right. And so we call him Mr. Too Slow. And look at what the last line says. When he got in the boat, his disciples followed him. If Mr. Too Slow is there, he didn't get in the boat and follow Jesus. Jesus' disciples followed him. Then we come to the story of the rich young ruler. And basically what I've got for you here, and which you'll see in those handouts, is you've got three Gospels that record it, and they can record different details, and you can get kind of confused. So I've kind of compiled all the details for you in a couple of slides here. As he was going another way, into another way, a certain ruler ran and asked him, knelt before him, and said, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Mark, he says, that I may inherit eternal life. So that's the question. A lot of people read this story and they forget what is the question that's being addressed. Basically, if we know this story, Jesus lays the law on him. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And the guy's like, hold up. I've done all those things. What am I lacking? He realizes he lacks eternal life. And what does Jesus say to him? It says that Jesus looked at him and loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. So you get this? Don't miss this. The guy's still asking, what do I got to do? Jesus looks at him, loves him, and says, one thing you lack. You still lack one thing. If you want to be, we translate this usually as perfect, and it's the word teleos in Greek, which in this case, the function of that word is if you want to be complete, that question you're asking me, how do I inherit eternal life? The completion of that is what follows. Go sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me, taking up the cross. Taking up the cross. Y'all catch that? Are we on the same page? Okay, because what will happen is people will get rooted in one account and they'll miss what we just saw here. That Jesus is answering his question. He's saying there's one thing that you've got to do to be teleos, to be complete, to be perfect in your salvation, to complete that salvation question you're asking. You've got to go and sell, and you've got to pick up the cross.
Okay. So,
When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, because he had great possessions. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how difficult is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? Now the question is we're talking about these three examples. You got Mr. Too Quick, you got Mr. Too Slow, you got the rich young ruler. And you see that there's this common theme. They're like, I think I want to follow you, but there's this one theme. Jesus is pointing out things, and it comes down to something about the cost. It's like, can you imagine let the dead bury their own dead? Or can you imagine, you know, him telling someone to sell everything he had to follow Jesus? And the question, and this is just kind of introing into a bunch of scriptures we're getting into. The question is, which one of these guys are we most like? Each individually. Now, what's your name?
Chris.
My name's Josiah. I can see you start first.
That's the
first. Okay. Chris, I'm glad I know you. What's your name?
Yusuf.
I'll try. Chris. Yusuf. Okay, so the question is which disciple is Chris most like? Or which one of these temptations do you fall into? That's the question. If I'm going to fall into one of these three categories, where is it my weakness is? Yosef. Where is Yosef? Which one of these guys am I prone to be like? Because the question is, are you ready? Are you going to embrace what God has? Because it's way better than I'm thinking it is. Are you ready to go after Jesus all the way? It's way better than it is, but there's something about Jesus that he points out this cost. And you're like, wait a minute, we're saved by grace and this, that, and that. We don't really have to pay anything. But Jesus is coming back at a cost of discipleship. It's very interesting stuff. Let's go ahead. Let's go. Okay, so what I see to help us ask this question is that I get to thinking about how the idea is that Jesus is like, I've got this amazing life, and some of the people, they even start to see it. They even start to say, Jesus is so cool. He's healing people. He's doing this. He's preaching this. He's teaching that. And like, I think I want to follow him. And when it comes down to the cost, it's like, I don't know if I can pay that. Joseph, if I had a Rolls Royce outside, how much would you be willing to pay? $5?
Yes.
Okay. If I had a Rolls Royce, if I said the price tag is $5,456,000, would you be willing to pay that for the Rolls Royce?
No.
Thank you very much. Okay, so what changes here is you might think Jesus is this Rolls Royce. You're like, I'll pay $5 for Jesus. $5, that's a good deal. Oh, I don't know about that, Jesus. Sell everything? Is that really what Jesus is asking us? Everything? Is that it? Now, see, I found this picture. I like this picture very much because what Jesus is suggesting to us, he's, you know, we sort of know it in theory. We know it sort of in our head that Jesus, how good is Jesus? Oh, he's so good. Are you willing to pay $5,456 for him? That's the question. Everything? I don't know. But see, what we end up doing is we end up like this girl on the left. You know, I went to high school, and that's like some things that I saw in high school. And so she's got the cell phone, she's got the two rings, and they're plastic. You know, I could go to Dollar Pop store down the street and buy it. Used to be you could buy these rings for 25 cents. I think they've raised the price to an amazing 50 cents now. An amazing 50 cents for one of these nice plastic rings. And what happens is that Jesus is coming to you and he's saying, I'm offering you the revolution of a lifetime, Joseph. I'm offering you, you don't get it. I don't know Chris very well, but I'm just using these examples. Okay. Chris, you don't get it. I'm offering you you don't understand how valuable this is. It's worth everything you got and more. Everything and more. Because, you know, there's this parable Jesus tells. I love this parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which when a man found and hid, and for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea. It gathered some of every kind. Which when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good in the containers but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forward. They'll separate the wicked from among the righteous and they'll cast them into a furnace of fire where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He tells these three parables. And basically what he's saying, you know what the kingdom of heaven is like? It's like when Chris, he looks at Jesus and he's like, that's a diamond ring worth $5,000. And he says, I only got $20. How am I ever going to buy that? That's like when Chris said, and somehow, this person doesn't know what they're doing. They're like, I just need some money real bad. I just need some $20 here. And he's like, yes! And he buys the ring. And you know what Chris can do after that? Chris can sell that ring for way, way more than $20. But as long as you're seeing Jesus as a plastic ring, you're like, I'll add another ring. Sure, 50 cents, yeah. Are you willing to sell all that you have? And the point about the pearl and the point about the treasure in the field is that guy doesn't have enough to buy that treasure. The guy doesn't have, I mean, he's only got $20 to buy that field. But there's something about the field that he sees that he's getting a deal. He's selling everything, all his little bit of money, to get this field, which is way worth more. You get it? It's not like, you got to work enough to get salvation. No. It's like, give up this. boring, pathetic life and get Jesus. That's the offer he's offering. Now see, this girl, like many girls that I went to high school with, they're like, I can add another ring. I can add another ring. I can add another ring. You notice what ring, the red ring is on her ring finger? Now, I want you to imagine that Jesus is someone proposing, because that's the analogy the Bible uses, that he's proposing to us. And he's saying, would you marry me? You're like, okay, I'll add another plastic ring on. He's like, no. You need to take the plastic ring off. I'm trying to sell you something much, much better than that. They're like, oh, I'll add another ring. He's like, no, you don't get it yet. You've got to sell all, you've got to give up those plastic rings. Y'all catch this? Does this make sense? Because Jesus is not a plastic ring, but as long as we've got a commitment level, as long as we've got a desire, as long as we've got this thought process going through our minds, then he's like a plastic ring. Even if we say that he's a diamond ring, if we're not paying the price, we're proving we think he's a plastic ring. And you've got to see the pearl. You have to see it as a treasure. And you've got to see it as a revolution that's worth embracing. It has to. Otherwise, Mr. Too Quick, Mr. Too Slow, the rich young ruler. Jesus made a clear point with these guys. He's like, guys, it's not a plastic ring. It's not a plastic ring. Okay, so that brings us to the next slide. Chris, I like you. I really appreciate your help. You know that? Okay, Chris, could you read to me that first verse?
You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. So what you see going on there is that you'll seek me and you'll find me when you search for me. Now, let me ask a question. When he's saying you'll seek me and you'll find me when you search for me, does that include Mr. Too Quick? No. Thank you. Yosef. Does that include, what's your name?
Sam.
Sam, nice to meet you. Does that include Mr. Too Slow?
No.
Does that include the rich young ruler?
No.
Okay. Now, what is he saying? He's saying you'll seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart. This guy, this rich young ruler, he's like, what do I got to do? He sure made a display, but there's something about it. It says he fell to his knees. He's like, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And there's something about you'll seek me when you find me. But there's something about, even if we say the right words, if we're not, we've got to go beyond even just the action, even just the thing. This verse is saying, you'll seek me when you find me. Not if you just come partway like the rich young ruler or whatever. Seek me and find you when you search for me all your heart. I remember when I was a kid, I had a very messy room, and I would lose my toys, and I would look all over for my toys, and I could not find them. It would frustrate me. But this is a very weird verse in light of things like that. Everyone here's lost something, and you're like, there's something that you just can't find. But Jesus makes this profound statement in Matthew 7. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Because everyone, can everyone say everyone?
Everyone.
Everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, door will be opened. Everyone? Well, how come when I was looking for my toy when I was a kid, I couldn't find that? He's not getting at it. But what he is getting at is when you search for me with all of your heart, that's when you're going to find me. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. They hunger and thirst for righteousness. Chris, what's your favorite food? Say it. I'm sorry. Okay. So when your did your mom make that? Your dad makes that. When he makes that, I don't know about you, Chris, but when there's some foods that. When there's something that you like, you can start smiling. Your mouth starts watering. There's something about that my stomach goes, And there's something about Jesus that he says, when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, then you'll be filled. There's something about Jesus that says that. When you go to church, if you go to church and you're like, Jesus, Bible, and stuff like that, that's not hungering and thirsting. As long as it's a duty and not a delight, you're not going to be filled with righteousness. So I'm praying that God, that you would open up our eyes, make us hungry in this time now. Open up our eyes. Open us up. Make us hungry. In the name of Jesus. When we finally get down to business with Jesus, then something changes. Let me read to you some thoughts that I had about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Is that cool, Chris? These are some things I just want you to pray about. Remember, the only rule here is that you believe the Bible. You don't have to believe everything that I say. You do have to believe the Bible, okay? But I did write some things about hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and I hope you listen. I don't know y'all very well, but this is just some meditations that I had, okay? For some of you, there's something in you that cries out for more. Some of you might be sitting at night in bed just longing for something, but you don't know what. Some of you might be crying yourself to sleep for something more than what you've experienced so far in life, and that would take away gnawing meaninglessness and hopelessness you feel. Some of you possibly have been disappointed and wounded by people who have been hurt. They've hurt you, lied to you, let you down. Some of you might feel trapped by some of these feelings and don't know how to escape, if there's anything real in life. Some of you probably have been rejected by someone and treated like you're not worth a thing. But I'm inviting you today to join the greatest move ever, where you are embraced as a special part of something big. I'm urging you today to embrace a call unlike anything else, which is different than the things that have left you hopeless. Some of you may have a commitment to follow Jesus. I'm sure there's some people here who have made a commitment to follow Jesus. But for some reason, it still feels like something is missing. You may say, I know God is infinitely good and worthwhile, but why can't I get myself to give him everything like I ought to? I'm not promising you a joyride, but I'm calling you to a revolution. A life that's worth living, that infiltrates the deepest part of your heart and gives an amazing hope for experiencing the greatness found only in taking a hold of Jesus. I'm not talking about paying your dues as a churchgoer or even playing church games to make yourself feel like you're a Christian, and so many of you in our culture. I'm talking about taking a hold of a revolution. My intentions are to take you where a good number of you maybe have never been before. By God's mercy and with your cooperation, I intend to take you not simply to an emphasized form of Christianity, but into the realm where life finally makes sense because you're finally dying on the cross with Jesus, where your life has belonged all along. At least one thing is certain today, and that is if you take a hold of Jesus, you will never be the same again, because you cannot take hold of eternity and casually settle for the disappointing vanity of this life. So what I'm telling you is that when you embrace the revolution, it makes you alive. But the very first thing I want you to know about all this is that it will never start in you without a cost.